Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Happy New Year. Now drop and give me 20. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, we begin a new series on music and fitness called, creatively enough, Let's Get Physical. But if sitting on the couch is more your thing, stick around, because later, Carrie Brownstein will drop by to talk about her second season of the IFC sketch comedy show, Portlandia. Today, we kick off our Let's Get Physical series with New Year's resolutions. Chances are that you're among the many people who've written down somewhere something like lose weight, get in shape, exercise more. If so, you're not alone. January is one of the busiest months for fitness centers around the country. But it's probably going to take more than sheer willpower and a new pair of sneakers to help you power through. In fact, the sports psychologist Costas Karageorgis says music can be a key motivator, and he joins us today from his home in London. Costas, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much indeed. Good to hear from you, John.
We know that a lot of people are already in gyms with their earphones on. They're listening to music during their workouts. What exactly is it doing for or to them?
Well, some of the main effects that music has is that it helps one to dissociate or not to tune into fatigue-related symptoms like the beating heart and increasing breath rate. So it makes the workout feel a lot easier. It can also have a stimulative effect. It arouses you, and we can lock into its rhythmical qualities for a synchronous effect that gives us greater staying power.
So do you want, ideally, to have a playlist for a workout that sort of ramps you up and then keeps you up and then lets you down?
I think the key is that the workout music contours expected heart rate. So as you warm up, you're working out to some slower tempi, and then once you get into the meat of the workout, then you really crank up the volume, the intensity, the tempo. And as you warm down, the tempo declines again in accordance with your working heart rate. So I think that the contouring is important, but it's also important to have music that stems from your listening preferences and is representative of your cultural background. So when I work with athletes or with exercise participants, I look at their pool of music, their playlist, very, very carefully, and then try to identify key tracks that are likely to motivate them.
Okay, now, in putting together a sort of sample playlist, you chose the Vangelis soundtrack from the film Chariots of Fire as a, what would you call this, kind of a pre-task, a kind of a warm-up piece?
Yeah, that would be a primer. That would be a way of getting you thinking about exercise to stimulate you, to motivate you. And the whole power behind that track, of course, is the fact that it's associated with the film. Mm-hmm. We're classically conditioned to respond to it favorably through the Herculean feats of the actors on the film by the same name. So that's a great one as a precursor to exercise, I think.
A little bit of Vangelis' soundtrack to the film Chariots of Fire. Some of Vangelis' soundtrack to the film Chariots of Fire. We're speaking with Costas Karageorgis. He's author of the book Inside Sports Psychology and is a sports psychologist at Brunel University in London. And Costas, you already said that it's important to pick music that's culturally appropriate. For this piece, do we sort of need to know what the film is about, to get whatever the message of, you know, kind of getting ready for the big run or the big workout is?
Well, that piece is neither fast nor percussive, and it stimulates by association. So I guess if you don't know the film, it's not going to have the desired effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of putting a playlist together, do you go for music that's familiar, or is it better to have something that maybe catches your ear if you're looking for that distracting effect that you mentioned before?
I think a combination of both, John. It's certainly the case that with exercise music, familiarity can breed contempt. And I often advise people to churn their music and to update it fairly regularly in order that its motivational influence is maximized. So a combination of much-loved pieces with some newer pieces and a churn over time so that you're not listening to the same tracks over and over again, because that can easily add to the monotony of a workout rather than alleviate it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk in your book about various athletes. Some of them, I guess, are under pseudonyms. Do people really kind of protect their playlists when they reach a certain athletic level?
There are instances of athletes who protect their playlists, but there are others who make them public. If we take people like Michael Phelps, who was a 15 gold medal winning USA swimmer,
mm-hmm.
One of the main themes in blogs around the Beijing Olympics was what he was playing on his iPod. And Phelps had a distinctly rap-centric playlist. I recall in particular he was listening to a track by the American gangster rapper Lil Wayne with the title I'm Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lyric that goes something like, "Yes, I am the best, and no, I ain't positive, I'm definite. I know the game like I'm reffing it." So we can see that music can provide a powerful affirmation that might help athletes' endeavors.
What about, there's a runner, a champion runner, who likes to hear Beat It from Michael Jackson. This is kind of walking that line you were just talking about, where for many of us, the song is thrice familiar and really you might have problems getting sort of motivated by it.
Well, I think the case with this particular runner was that they were using the track synchronously. They were synchronizing their stride rate to it. It has quite an up-tempo. But also the lyric is very powerful. Just beat it. No one wants to be defeated. And that can really resonate with an athlete.
All right, so a couple of things happening here. You've got the content of the lyrics, but then, as Costas mentioned, there's the beat itself. Beat It from Michael Jackson. And this, Costas Karageorgis is with us on the line from London. He's author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. We're talking about music and your workout and how to get the most out of it. And Costas, with Beat It, we get into the whole kind of arcane field of synchronizing beats in music to the rhythm of your workout. First of all, what's the beats per minute for a song like Beat It?
It's around 142 beats per minute.
And what's ideal?
It's quite up. Well, this is a question that we've been addressing over the last 5 or 6 years. When the music is playing in the background, the optimal tempo range is from about 125 beats per minute to 140 beats per minute. But when you're using the music synchronously, in these instances, we generally film athletes working out at different intensities, and then find music that either gives them a little push or sits with their desired intensity in order to optimize their workout. So there's quite a science to using synchronous music. It's not so straightforward. But what we found is that when you synchronize your workout to the music, it can result in greater energy efficiency and even the use of less oxygen while working out. A 6 or 7% gain we found in our most recent research. So that's not to be sniffed at.
Yeah. And what are you synchronizing to? Are we talking about heart rate? Are we talking about, if you're a runner, the pace, you know, the ratio at which your feet are hitting the ground?
Well, when we talk about using synchronous music, it's generally synchronizing work rate rather than heart rate. If the music is playing in the background, then it's the relationship between heart rate and the music tempo that's important. In that instance, as I said, a range of about 125 to 140 beats per minute appears to be optimal in terms of maximizing the motivational outcomes associated with music across a very wide range of exercise intensities. So it's not necessarily the case that the harder you work out, the faster the tempo should be. Our research doesn't show that at all.
Now, you're at the Brunel University in London. Explain what the Brunel Music Rating Inventory is.
Well, John, some years ago when I started working in this field, it was plagued by a rather atheoretical approach, and we didn't have standardized ways of rating the motivational qualities of music. So over a number of years, I developed this method for assessing the motivational qualities of music. It was originally published in 1999, the Brunel Music Rating Inventory, and then I upgraded it. Having used it for a number of years and realized some of its limitations, I upgraded it in 2006. So the Brunel Music Rating Inventory is a standardized way that allows people to assess the motivational qualities of music and to coordinate music with their workouts. It's actually available in Chapter 8 of my new book, Inside Sports Psychology.
And I guess the key follow-up question then is, how individualized? I mean, will the music rating inventory work, you know, across people of different backgrounds, of different sort of exercise abilities and stuff? Or, you know, how personalized does this need to be to really work for you?
Well, that's the whole point. You see, you can rate a pool of music for yourself. Or let's say you're a coach or a team manager. You can get a group of athletes to rate a pool of music and then establish which particular selections are likely to be most effective for them. In the experimental work that we've done, we generally get a subgroup of a population, and they rate for the experimental participants, because if experimental participants rate for themselves, then you get what's called an experimenter effect, wherein they behave as they think you want them to. So that invalidates the research. So what we do in research and what we do in practice are two slightly different things.
Okay. You talked about the churn. You need to turn over your playlist, keep it fresh so you don't get
Absolutely.
Too familiar. LMFAO, certainly on a lot of top tens. They're in the Billboard top 10 for 2011. Is this something that is appearing on your performance playlist, on more performance-enhancing playlists lately?
In terms of the recent scientific work that we've done in terms of analyzing the latest hits, this is one that's really topping out. So I would highly recommend it for a Western audience who is wanting to select music for exercise.
And at 130 beats per minute, it hits that sweet spot that Kostas Karageorgis has been talking about. Listeners, we want to know, what music helps you get the most out of your workout? Is there music that you avoid during exercise? You can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment online at wnyc.org/soundcheck. I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
sexy and I know it. Yeah, when I'm at the mall, security just can't fire them all. And when I'm at the beach, I'm in a Speedo trying to tan my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. We headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Watch.
LMFAO, sexy and I know it. And at 130 beats per minute, Costas, this is a good piece to be working out to for at least a little while, right?
Absolutely. Once you get into the meat of your workout, that's exactly the sort of piece that you should be using.
Now, is there a time in your workout when you shouldn't be listening to music?
That's an interesting question, John, and has been the topic of very recent research we've been doing. I would suggest that when you're working out at a very high intensity, maybe beyond 80, 85% of your max, then music either has a negligible effect on how you feel or can be an unwanted distraction, particularly for the elite who have a tendency to focus inwardly. I would suggest that music might be an unwanted distraction at those very high intensities. And as I say, this is the topic of recent research. I suspect beyond about 90% of max, music is fairly inconsequential in terms of how you feel.
We're speaking with Dr. Costas Karageorgis, sports psychologist at Brunel University in London. And we've got calls coming in. We'll start taking some of your calls in just a moment about music and exercise. And I've just come into a pair of waterproof earbuds and an MP3 player for my morning swim, and I am looking forward to putting a playlist together. This song is going to be on it from Kanye West. Song's called Stronger by Kanye West. Perhaps an optimistic addition to my workout playlist. And up next, what's on your workout playlist? We'll open the phones to find out. And later on the show, musician Carrie Brownstein from the bands Wild Flag and Slater Kinney stops by to talk about season number 2 of her sketch comedy series with Fred Armisen called Portlandia. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now on the relationship between music and fitness with Costas Karageorgis. He's author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. And in the background, you're hearing Push It by Salt-N-Pepa, a song that has helped to motivate, among others, shot putters. And we also want to hear what helps you power through your workout. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Might be having a little thing with the phones for a moment here. Try getting through. If you can't, leave your comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And in terms of music as performing enhancing, Costas, you've said that some athletes consider music to be like a legal drug with no unwanted sound effects. Is it really that powerful?
It absolutely is. We have conducted fairly extensive research looking at the ergogenic or work-enhancing effects of music. And our research would suggest that music can increase endurance by up to 10% when one is synchronizing their movements to it. So it has the ability, if well selected, to enhance endurance. But I think that it's Joe and Josephine Public who stand to gain the most rather than elite athletes. Mm-hmm. It's the recreational participants who have the most to gain.
What do you make of the 2007 ban of music at the New York Marathon, which, you know, caused a huge uproar among, as you just said, the rank and file runners as opposed to the elite ones?
Yes, that did cause a furore, and in fact, my phone did not stop ringing for about 2 weeks. I think that the music was banned on safety grounds. Music can be so intoxicating. Runners become lost in it. They miss important instructions from race marshals. They don't pay attention to directions. They bump into each other. So I think the whole ban was really to prevent people from having accidents rather than from preventing them from reaping the ergogenic effects of music.
Okay. Let's take some calls and see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have been up to in the gym and running on the roads. Gregory is with us from Bernardsville. Gregory, what's your workout soundtrack?
I'm 48 years old, and my workout soundtrack is Britney Spears and Rihanna and Kesha.
Uh-huh. Now, would you normally be listening to those, to that type of music?
No, I listen to Peggy Lee all day long.
Uh-huh.
So that really motivated me. I lost 90 pounds, and it really is the music that really got me going at the gym, especially on the days when I had dragged myself out of bed. And getting on the Stairmaster and hearing Rihanna sing S&M, it's very funny. And sometimes when I hear the lyrics, I start laughing to myself, but the beat really keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. So Peggy Lee for home, but when you're at the gym, it's Rihanna or someone like this, Britney Spears, that does it for Gregory. Gregory in Bernardsville just lost another pound. That was Toxic from Britney Spears. Interesting, Costas, what Gregory was saying, that he listens to one kind of music when left to his own devices, but for the purposes of a workout, finds himself listening to a completely different style of music. Does that strike you as odd?
Not at all. It just goes to show what a functional role music plays in the context of exercise. And although we might have one musical predilection for general listening, in his case it's Peggy Lee, in the exercise context, we need music that is stimulating and arousing and matches the sort of psychological state that we want to attain. So Rihanna and Britney, and in particular their more up-tempo hits, would be ideal for him.
All right, let's see what some of our listeners are leaving on the comments page on our website. That means a trip into the control room and Joel Meyer.
John, two quick comments here. Ron from Williamsburg posted this. I love working out to Overkill. Lifting weights and metal go well. Metal motivates. Also, Chris from Montclair, New Jersey writes this. I listen to podcasts of public radio programs like The Brian Lehrer Show, Leonard Lopate Show, and This American Life when I run and lift weights, though Eminem's Lose Yourself got me through my training for the bar exam.
So what about that? If we're talking about sound that distracts you, Costas, here's a listener who's tuning into podcasts of talk radio.
Well, pod radio, TV can also have a distracting effect, and this can reduce your perception of effort by about 10% while you're working out. But what it often doesn't do is have the same motivational effect that a well-selected piece of music has. Interestingly, your listener said that metal motivates. There's a difference between men and women in terms of preferences for workout music, and men tend to express a preference for metal and rock selections, whereas women generally tend to go more for pop selections in the exercise context. So that was quite interesting. The thing about Eminem and Lose Yourself, Lose Yourself induces this state of flow, this optimal psychological experience. It's used by a lot of athletes and a lot of teams that I have worked with. And I can understand where you're, when you're dealing with preparation for tough exams, it can help you just to get it immersed in the process and to give the very best of yourself.
Well, Costas, it's interesting that you sort of focused on that song, which our listener mentioned, because another listener, Maria, calling in from Pelham, New York, likes that same song. Maria, what is it about Eminem's music that gets you going for your workout?
Well, I have to confess, I am a transplanted Detroiter. So it's Eminem, so I love Detroit. But you know what? It gets me going. It's that first song on my playlist, and it just gets me in the right frame of mind for getting pumped up to go to the next level. So that's what I like about Lose It.
Lose Yourself is the song.
Right.
This is three people in a row talking about the song. Let's hear a little bit of it from Detroit's own Eminem. Lose Yourself from Eminem, and as Costa Karageorgis was just telling us, the author of the book Inside Sports Psychology, there's often a difference between genders in terms of what people pick for their playlists, but we had both male and female listeners sort of responding to that same song from Eminem. Here's listener Sasha from New York writing on our webpage, "I love working out to Soca," the Caribbean style related to Calypso, "especially Machel Montano when I am on the treadmill. The music is fast-paced, so it keeps me pumped up throughout my workout." I think I'd have a heart attack and die if I tried to work out to that. What would you say that is, Costas?
Right at the top end in terms of tempo, John.
That sounds like, 250 beats per minute or something.
About 145.
145. So that is at the upper end of that threshold that you were talking about before.
Absolutely.
Machel Montano, right, and Advantage is the name of the song. Do you want to do with your playlist what you do with your workout, which is, you hope over time your workout will get a little more intense, you'll add some weight, you'll add some distance. Do you want to get to the point where you can work out comfortably or effectively to something at 145 beats per minute like that?
Not necessarily. In fact, our research shows that when you become fitter and you're working at a higher intensity, in order for your body to reach some sort of equilibrium, in order for your arousal levels to come down, you want slightly slower music. Mm. If you're using the music synchronously, then yes, of course, you'll need higher and higher tempi to go harder and harder. If it's playing in the background, the key points, it's not necessarily the case that it should get faster and faster. And this is a clear message that's coming out of our latest research.
So the research continues at the Brunel University in London, where Costas Karageorgis is sports psychologist, and he is also co-author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. We've been talking about music and exercise and what it takes to build a good performance-enhancing playlist. And again, just to kind of sum up, Costas, you suggest a mix of the familiar and the less familiar, but the important thing, keep that playlist turning over, keep it fresh, just as you would with your workout. Yes, no?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sorry to put words in your mouth, but I just...
Absolutely. The music should stem from your social cultural background. It should reflect to a degree your listening preferences. try to hit that sweet spot in terms of tempo between about 125 to 140 beats per minute. Go for happy harmonies, so mm-hmm. not minor harmonies, not dowdy tracks, but more uplifting tracks in the exercise context, and motivational lyrics.
And Lady Gaga with Edge of Glory is right at the bottom end of that sweet spot that Costas was talking about at 120 beats per minute. Costas, a pleasure having you with us back on Soundcheck today. Happy New Year to you.
And to you, sir.
And still to come, you might know Carrie Brownstein as the guitarist and singer in the bands Slater Kinney and Wild Flag, or you might know her as a blogger for NPR. Today, she'll join us in her role as TV star. Carrie Brownstein talks about the new season of Portlandia. And have you heard about our new next broadcast from the Green Space? It'll feature actress and singer Audra McDonald. Join Soundcheck in the Green Space for a performance by Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis, the stars of the Broadway revival of Porgy and Bess. Also, singer-songwriter Sharon Van Etten. That's Tuesday, January 17th at 2 p.m. Tickets at wnyc.org/soundcheck.